of the main questions I often get is, what is the critical difference between HTTP 2 and HTTP 3? Why did we invent HTTP 3 to rephrase this question? So there was some limitation with HTTP 2, right? That we looked at HTTP 2 and there was some limitation that forced us to rethink this entire thing. So in summary, the main issue is the use of TCP, which is one beautiful, you know, pipe of stream. It's just bytes going, just bytes. Then using that pipe to segmentate that, to create logical streams, which represents the different request so that we can send multiple requests concurrently on the same connection. That was the main goal, right, of streaming. We weren't able to stream multiple requests in the same connection as opposed to HTTP 1. We have each connection one request, right? Model. So then we solved this problem. But then because we use TCP, the fact that we used one pipe, and there was, of course, the TCP has the concept of ordering, sending these requests out of order will block essentially everything after that unordered packet, causing essentially every single request to be blocked. And this is what is called TCP head of line blocking. And that's how HTTP 3 solves it. Of course, we with everything in software engineering, we solve some problem, something else comes up. So HTTP 3 is not perfect. We created other problems that we're trying to solve now. But in this video, what I wanted to do is actually just talk about that a little bit. Talk about the head of line blocking, HTTP 2 head of line blocking. And this is actually a snippet from my backend engineer course. So if you're interested, check out my backend engineering course. Go to backend.win and there's a little, tons of content over there. I go into way more details in my course there. And yeah, hope you enjoy. So we have this beautiful TCP connection, right? We have this server, HTTP 2 server, we have our client, and we're about to send four concurrent GET requests to the JS, CSS, and two JPEG images. And they're gonna go in stream 1, 2, 3, and 4, right? Again, don't pay attention to the numbers here. No, they might be different and physically. But yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? We send them blue, and I apologize if I'm using a lot of colors here for the colorblind, but we're effectively seeing, just look at the numbers here, stream 1, 2, 3, and 4, effectively. Yeah? Colors are just an addition here. So we have stream 1 come in here. What will this translate to into a bunch of segments, right? TCP segments at the transport layer, right? And let's assume that all of these are the same size, similar size in requests. So let's say 3,000, for example, 3,000 bytes, right? So assuming the MTU is 1,500 bytes, that makes roughly every request, every segment is 1,500 bytes. That means two segments will make a request. So 1 and 2 is request 1, 3 and 4 is request 2. Right, 5 and 6 is request 3 and or stream 3, and 7 and 8 is request 4 or stream 4, right? So that's what we have. We have 8 segments, right? That will eventually go into 8 IP packets, right? And then we send them. And they are labeled exactly that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, right? They're exactly labeled this in the sequence level in the TCP layer, right? We send them. And then what the server will do is say, okay, I got 1 and 2, both of them, they are in order, as they are the first two segments I get, they are in order, so I'm good. So what the server will do is, oh, let me parse them actually. Oh, this is actually stream 1. Oh, this is actually a GET request. Oh, nice. Let me get it. Okay, this is now we get a beautiful GET request. Beautiful, right? So I can immediately deliver this because we got a new GET request. I can deliver it to the app, right? I am the app, right? But this might be done in another thread, right? Not necessarily, it depends, right? It really depends on how your backend is configured. But yeah, I have that delivered immediately to the app.
start processing the main JS, read from the desk and response, right? And then I got 3 and 4. Oh, they are in order. We got 3 and 4. Oh, 3 and 4 is actually this Git request. Nice, stream 2. 5 and 6, we got it. Oh, check. All right, stream 3. Nice. All right. Oh, let me disappear for a second. Yeah. Disappear for a second. You guys didn't miss anything. Yeah, 3 and 4, 5 and 6, 7, 8, all of these are delivered correctly, right? So all of them will be delivered. As we start parsing, we're going to deliver. So this will get delivered first. This will get delivered second, third, and fourth. So that's beautiful. So we got them all of them together. So where does this actually break? Let's do the same thing, but with a monkey wrench. We sent all of these guys together, all the packets again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, right? Again, every pair is a request. But let's say packet number 3, segment number 3, was lost. We lost it. If you lose packet number 3, in the TCP layer, all of this, even if they are delivered, right? They are useless. Why? 1 or 2 was delivered. They are in sequence. Good. So Git main JS actually was delivered to the application. Stream 1 is delivered. But because this we're dealing with TCP, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 were delivered, but they were not acknowledged. Why? Because 3 was missing. Wait a minute. So I got 1 and 2, but and I immediately got 4 and 5, 6, 7, 8. Where is 3? Guess what? TCP, it will block. It will block not only 4, not only main.css. It will block stream 3. It will block stream 4 too. Why? Because it doesn't even know that this is stream 3 or 4 because it didn't parse it yet, right? To it is, all this is just one stream of bytes. And again, remember, TCP is just a stream of bytes. So 1, 2, 3, the moment we miss 3, everything after 3 is blocked. That's why head of line blocking, right? So we're done. So we're waiting. So this 2 and 3 and 4 is effectively not delivered despite all their packet effectively is delivered. So I assume you have 10 streams and one stream in the early segments were lost. Anything after that is lost. And that is a big, big, big problem in TCP, HTTP2. So if it happens, it really hurts, right? And here's the thing. It's not like this request was delivered and the app is just taking time processing. No, the app isn't never even saw that someone made a request to get /image1.jpg. No, it doesn't even know. It needs to be parsed. So that's the big problem with HTTP2, head of line blocking. The main problem is the head of line blocking in HTTP2, right? We talked about that, right? The TCP segment must be delivered in order. That's how TCP work. That's how we explained it in the TCP lecture. Segments have to be ordered. If you send the segment 1, then segment 2, they are labeled as so. 1 must be arrived after 2. If 2 arrive first, the kernel will be blocked, will block that segment until segment 1 arrive, and then it will acknowledge, unless selective acknowledgement was enabled in the networking stack, right? That's a different story. But yeah, TCP segments must be delivered in order, okay? But streams do not have to. I can stream 10 can have request number 10, and it has nothing to do with request number 1. Why are you blocking it, right? So it leads to this blocking request, which is very undesirable. That's the problem with HTTP2 today, right? Again, you're only going to see it if you have a lossy network where things is getting lost, right? Especially in the internet, of course. In the data center, I doubt that you're going to get that. Like the chances that packet will be lost in the data center is very low. Yeah, packets might get out of order delivery, but not necessarily lost, I think. That's just my opinion, I think. How does HTTP3 and Quick solve it? So we built Quick, and then we built HTTP3 on top of Quick because we wanted the feature of streaming, right? The multiplex streaming on the same connection, but we didn't want the stinking headers of HTTP and the semantic of this hypertext protocol. We just wanted a binary low-level transport protocol. And then we said, okay, if someone want to build HTTP3 on top of that, let's build on top of that, right? So HTTP3 actually uses Quake, right? And it just adds a thin layer of it. There is still certain things that are different between HTTP3 and HTTP2, right? It's not just directly HTTP2 on top of Quake. The compression is actually different, right? But I'm not going to mention it here. It's going to make this lecture 7 hours long, right? Like HTTP2, Quake has streams, effectively, right? But Quake actually uses UDP instead. And because we're using UDP, there's this concept of segments. There's no concept of order delivery. There's nothing. I control everything. The Quake protocol controls the UDP. It's like a puppeteer, if you think about it. Yeah? So the application decides the boundary here. And let's see how it looks, the HTTP3 streams. Using HTTP3 streams, doing the same thing exactly, sending all the requests, now these will become UDP datagrams instead of TCP segments, right? So all of these are UDP datagrams, right? In this case, actually, I think they call them Quake datagrams. But yeah, eventually they are UDP datagrams, which they will end up as IP datagrams, right? IP packets, sorry. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And let's say we lost datagram number 3. It's lost, right? Well, guess what? Technically, this is delivered, 1 is delivered, 2 is delivered, 4 is delivered, 3 is not delivered, but 5 is delivered, 6 is delivered, 7 is delivered, 8 is delivered. Guess what? 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 are all independent UDP. They are not technically labeled. I labeled them for visualization. But the server doesn't care. Yeah, there are sequence numbers in Quake. The sequence numbers are placed in the UDP datagrams, and the Quake manages these sequences. So now it knows that, oh, 1 and 2, they're after the each other. Okay, that's good. Yeah, 4, I got 4, but 4 is kind of technically, there's something missing with the 4. It's actually, we need a 3 for stream 2. Right? But then it's going to say, okay, 5 and 6. Oh yeah, 5 and 6 actually has nothing to do with 1 and 2 and 4 or 5, because these are together. They are labeled as a stream 3, because you're going to see that there is a stream 3 ID here. I just didn't put it here. The color represented effectively here. So stream 3, 5 and 6. Oh yeah, deliver them. We got 5 and 6. Deliver to the app. Top. 7 and 8. Deliver to the app. Top. The only thing that's getting blocked is what is stream 2. Why? Because there is something that is missing here. Because it knows. There is knowledge at the stream level that something is missing. And the Quake protocol takes care of all of that. So we effectively built a TCP connection for each stream, if you think about it. And instead of having a sequenced order delivery for all the stream, for all the connection, we are building it per stream, right? And that's the power here.